Okay, so today is part of our Evolution of Consciousness series. We're going to talk about the veil of forgetting a little bit more. So just to bring an overview for those that may not have been across the pathway, this piece of work follows a teaching which is called Law of One. You can look it up on the website. There's lots of information about it. On YouTube, you know, look for Law of One. Aaron Abke will often come up because he's a great teacher of Law of One. What Law of One is a channeled series of information that was brought to Earth. This is apparently the second time. It is a collective consciousness at the level of sixth density. These densities are layers of our evolution, which kind of like music or light has seven levels as a main set. You know, there are levels within levels and that, but we won't go there today. These are the mechanism through which the divine has an experience to know and grow itself. Because the divine in its wholeness has no capacity to see itself. Because it just is. So what, in order for the divine to experience itself, its consciousness enters at the first density, and we talk about them as densities. They are not dimensions. Dimensions are a totally different thing. When you're talking about dimensions, you're talking about, you're really talking about sacred geometry of spaces that can do things, and you have different dimensional spaces that have every dimension you add gives a different type of measurement to the field. Because like at third dimension, we are talking about a field that has height, breadth, depth. This is 3D, yeah? If you're talking about fourth dimension, then another measurement comes into that, which is time, where time becomes a player within the space. And the space changes from space-time to time-space. But, you know, each of these are a construct that create possibility. So that's dimensions, yeah. And you can have dimensions that sit on top of each other and can be accessed in the same point. Like, we could experience different dimensions here if we wanted to. Densities are a different thing. Densities are to do with light. Light is information, and you could go light equals consciousness. In your field, you have light. Yeah, the light is, some of it matters into your body, and some of it is see-through, like your aura. Yeah, but it's all energy. This energy, in essence, is light. Light is information. How we shift our vibration or shift our density is we acquire more light inside the vehicle. Because more information gives more complexity of thought, gives more possibility of consciousness, because you're able to perceive more. You have more information to work with. Yeah? There are fields of density that consciousness progresses through in order to grow itself in its experience of the creator, which we all are, aspects of it, for it to experience itself and then unify the information back into its wholeness again in order to repeat the journey all over again. This is that journey. From the first density, where the energies just come in, it's kind of like the primal forces like earth, air, fire and water come to play. They rub against each other. And in that rubbing, it creates the next one, which is growth and movement. And in that rub, it starts to create polarity, up, down, light, shadow, matter forms, all of this kind of happens. This is a very quick kind of progression through. It then moves into third density, because in all that rubbing and experience of one another, then things start to gain self-awareness. Us, we are in the third density, where we've been in a journey of discovering ourselves as unique. And it is, you know, as the analogy often is like, you know, you can experience this with a dog. You know, normally a dog, if it was in the wild, it would be a pack animal. And so its consciousness would be more of a level to of simply knowing itself instinctively through its movement. When it comes to live with humans, you know, it suddenly it's gained a name and now it goes, oh yes, you know, with our dog, it's like, oh, I am Ivy. And it's got a sense of identity. And then it starts to go, I can manipulate my environment. I can bring behaviors that make the human feed me or take me for a walk, or, you know, so it learns self-awareness, which is beyond instinct. Humans obviously have been on this journey here where we have learned self-awareness. Now, one of the interesting things in third density, which is actually the topic for today, which is where I'm going to pause to insert the topic for today, is in third density, apparently, according to the being that tells this story, who's pretty turned on, there's a thing in third density called the veil of forgetting, that as a soul comes in for a third density experience, it forgets it's a divine. This is a very important mechanism, which apparently was not always in play. One of the previous divinities that played this game put it in because people were taking such a long time to get through third density because they all were still remembering that they were divine, and so they wouldn't polarize and find love consciousness because they already experienced themselves as love consciousness because going, well, I'm just divine, so why should I do any shifting of my consciousness to kind of move up the levels? And so, you know, this apparently this particular, you know, divine logos went, okay, we need something different at the level of third density. We actually need to forget that we are God. We need to forget that we are the divine and forget that we are oneness in order to accelerate the evolution through this point so that, and also to accelerate the capacity for self-awareness. Because when you know that you're everything, you're not really looking at yourself so closely. And so hence the veil of forgetting was put into play within this system, and they were all very happy with it because it said it had lots of very useful results. It actually shortened third density way down to only like, you know, sets of 25,000 years, which is very different because, you know, in fourth density you got like, you know, 10 million blocks, you know, in to get through. But in third density, the purpose was, to create, basically to create the capacity for self-awareness as a first thing, that we would actually get to know ourselves as separate from everything. So the ego was born. It accelerated polarization because we then started to go, oh, you're different from me. And we all started to be able to see difference between us rather than sameness between us. And so again, this helped with mirroring and growth and exploration of self and all that kind of stuff. It also created the possibility to accelerate the growth of the will force, because we have, in the self-awareness, we actually have to choose. So for a while, we'll still kind of go along automatically and just responding to whatever's happening. And I'm sure you can identify there's people in your world that do that. But eventually you get enough self-knowledge where you start to get an inkling on going, hang on, I think I'm divine. In fact, I think I'm sure I've got a divine bit in here. And you know, we actually move to a certain level of acceleration in our self-knowledge where we go, there's more to this picture. And in fact, why am I here? And where did I come from? What am I part of? And we start to move, you know, this is what the awakening, where you wake up and you go, ah, it's, you know, I've been conned. I mean, in this game of forgetting, but now I'm remembering. And we start this thing of going, I keep coming up with things like I'm remembering. And you'll hear people in circles and go, you know, it's like I remember things and these things come to me and I suddenly remember. Yes, the remembering starts to happen when you're starting to move towards the end of third density. Because at fourth density and all the other densities, there's no veil of forgetting. And we're on a planet that's shifting between third and fourth. So both sides of those conditions are now here. But more on the veil of forgetting, because that's the topic for today. So with this veil of forgetting, so yes, ego, the negative polarization, it also brings forth pain and suffering. Because pain and suffering at its highest level is really, as the Buddha says, is actually when you don't know yourself as divine, when you see every experience as personal, it's all happening to me. That's, you know, it's all just falling on me. Yes, we totally agree. And that this, because it's only when it changes, you know, where, as the Buddha teaches, you know, where we suddenly go, oh, experiences, actually, they pass, they're non-permanent, we move to the next, you know, and we transcend suffering by being able to perceive that the suffering is only caused through my separation from the divine and all others. And once I experience love consciousness, my feeling of connection, then the suffering exponentially decreases. And so this whole sense of suffering is a third density construct. But it's also motivation, because the suffering is painful. And ideally, we are programmed to stop pain. So the suffering, it's to the degree to which we will stay with it. But eventually, it gets to a point where we go, I'll stop this, I'm going to do something about it. You know, I'm going to grow, I'm going to look at that, I'm going to transform it, I'm going to change it. And it becomes the very motivation that lifts you up and makes you start spiritually seeking. And usually it is the biggest impetus into spiritual seeking. And so it serves the construct, even though it's painful to go through. And the interesting, you know, one of the things they say that, you know, the veil also causes native pairing. And in this, it's where we partner up with others, because before the veil, you know, everyone was like, oh, you're just another me, you're just another me, you're just another me. There was no sense of needing anyone to actually do this journey together. And so there was not really a motivation to come together and work together, which of course is the requirement to actually move into fourth density. So you can see why that wasn't working for them so well. But the veil of forgetting also starts, encourages people to actually, to seek out each other, to actually find, you know, like-minded friend groups, partners, these kind of things, to, because they saw like, oh my God, I actually feel stronger when, you know, there's two of us. And so there's this inbuilt sense of knowing that unity is a way that is that's a stronger, more potent way of progressing. And so again, it accelerates this knowing. So, you know, the veil of forgetting serves many things in this way. And a bit like I was saying before, between each veil, there is a threshold. They say it's, you know, it's almost like walking up the stairs, the seven stairs to, you know, get back to oneness. But at each stair level, there's a, you know, a threshold to get to the next level. And that when you are very close into moving through these thresholds, you will experience the most resistance, because you have to push against it in order to acquire enough power and certainty and owning what is really your fourth density characteristics to actually get over the threshold into the next step. And that, and I was listening to this and going, oh my God, it's just like, you know, is the resistance I'm feeling this week, because I'm having a big week of resistance, is that maybe it's, I'm getting really close to stepping over into fourth density. Maybe that's what it is. But anyway, but it was just saying that, yeah, really in any shifting, there's always this kind of level of resistance. One of the interesting things in relation to veil of forgetting, which was so fascinating, because it talked about dreams, and it was talking about the veil of forgetting also is the thing that causes the separation between the waking and the dream consciousness, and the why you don't remember between one state. You know, you fall asleep and you've totally lost the world of being awake, and you're in this other world, and then when you wake up again, you've gone to another, you know. And this separation between these parts of your consciousness is actually part of the veil of forgetting. And that, again, as you learn bridging, to bridge between the two states again, you bring it back together. And again, this is a characteristic of fourth density consciousness, is when you start to bridge the waking and the sleep states and bring them back together, which is why the Tibetan practices were absolutely about fourth density consciousness. And it's also why within Damenhur, dreaming is a big deal because they believe the same thing, that you have to unify the two parts of the consciousness, and they have very accelerated dreaming abilities. They have very dedicated dream teams, which I remember talking to you about before. They collect dream energy and actually utilize it as a substance. Some very interesting perspectives on dreaming. Anyway, piercing the veil, which is kind of where we're at. It's like, okay, how do we get beyond the veil to the other side? And it's, piercing the veil is simply the green ray, the love consciousness. It's coming into here. They say the easiest way to pierce the veil is work with group, with love consciousness, because you will accelerate much faster. The collective energy will be much more potent, and this will continually lift you into the next density. And so again, every time you do that, you get experience of the love consciousness in the field, accelerated by the power of the group. And this is what will hold you more into that next level of the fourth density, which is characterized, what we might call Christ consciousness or love consciousness. It's a field where we move into, we're still within our physical bodies, but much more light within our bodies. And much more, it's a field of love and understanding of love consciousness, where the green ray is more active because it relates to the chakra rays as well within the being. And so in piercing the veil, working in groups, practicing acceptance and understanding of yourself and others, continuing to develop your self-awareness, to know yourself, to understand what are my triggers, what are the things I'm needing to shift, taking responsibility as you see them, going, okay, how do I change that? How do I, modify that? How do I manage it? Even if it's a characteristic of who I am, can I manage it in a way so it's useful rather than not useful? So it doesn't limit me, but because as they say, for every gift there's a weakness, and for every, and vice versa, every weakness can become a strength, but it's in how you use them. It's how you manage yourself. So you become then the big governor. You become the observer of yourself, the neutral observer, the witness, as they say, where you perceive yourself, you perceive your patterns, and then you work with yourself and going, okay, these are some of my gifts and talents. These are my weaknesses, so I try to make sure that they don't get in the way, and I, push forward these. And it's a management process. It's a management process of your consciousness. It's not about going, this part of me is bad, chop off that arm. It's simply, I am a unique mix of characteristics. The best way is if I learn what they are and I learn how to get them to work together for, we all try to get all the bits of us and go, we're going that way, so that everyone agrees that we go that way, all the parts of me. And then, of course, I get acceleration because I can get all the parts of me, not to limit me in the direction I want to go. So one of the other things that was very interesting I found in the talk about Veil of Forgetting is because, as I said before, this only occurs within the third density, this Veil of Forgetting, because of the purposes it serves within creating self-awareness and actually creating a real choice. Because without this waking up and having to choose what pathway I'm actually going to proceed on, am I proceeding on a pathway which is predominantly service to others, or am I proceeding on one that's predominantly service to self, the narcissistic pathway we've talked about today? These are the two choices of the polarity, and both are valid. Not surprisingly, most people seem to choose the service to others kind of pathway, because it's a nicer pathway, get to kind of hang out, be loving, it's pretty good. No one here, I'm sure, has chosen service to self, or you wouldn't be in the teepee coming and doing stuff together, because you'd hate it. Mm-hmm. But obviously we have all chosen this pathway in here. And so at this end of the polarity, again, these two parts continue up the ray of the love consciousness, except for the service to self. Of course, it's I love me, I don't love them. Yep. But in the service to others is I love everybody. That's kind of, they're the kind of two ends. So they still progress up through fourth density. They also progress into fifth density. Fifth density is where really the ray coming into the blue ray, which is about, it's the ray of truth. You know, it's obviously, you know, speaking the truth. And it's also the, you know, it's the wisdom ray, what we would actually probably equate to Buddhic consciousness. You know, the green ray, we'd probably go, this is Christ consciousness, you know, the love field. The blue ray is like wisdom consciousness, is what we call like the Buddhic field, because his teachings were all about the mind, how to manage mindfulness, the path of wisdom, this kind of thing. What happens, and this probably in answer to your question in some ways, what happens to the narcissist, and can we hold out hope for them? Well, the answer is yes, because at the sixth level, we hit unity and balance, where all of them have to come together. And if you have not got love consciousness, you get bounced off and you can't progress any further until you've learned how to love. Because you must have both love and light at that level. And so there are, you know, several examples. You know, the one that I always often use is, you know, the within the galactic community, it's well known that the grey beings were service to self in their model, but that they got to sixth density and went, oh shit, we can't go any further. And so that they are now back doing service and bringing their skills to serve the galaxy and helping. And they are doing far more help than they are doing harm these days, which is great. And with their own particular way and style. But at the sixth density, this is the point of unity, where love and light must unify. And it is the place also, it's actually the place what they say, this is the place of your higher self. So when you go into and go, I'm connecting to my higher self, your soul, of course, is outside of space and time. So it exists at all densities simultaneously. Mm. So the bit of you that advises you is actually the bit of you that is a sixth density being, because it's part of that collective. And part of its service is to serve the parts of itself that are at lower levels of consciousness. And so this kind of helps us out. But at this sixth level, ideally all comes back into unity balance and they kind of work it all out. And then once they can get that, they then amalgamate and become the seventh, which is where they are the gateway, where everything is combined, and that's the harvest. And that's when the divine knows all of itself from the construct. Everything has been played out. It's learned everything possible, and it goes back into the oneness. Interesting, the story on that was that at that point, that unifying of all that light, you know, is like creates the big white light, which actually causes then a black hole, and it pops through in order to birth another galaxy again, and they start the process all over again. Anyway, so they say, who knows? That's within the information, but the information was from a sixth density level, giving information into the construct. And it's so interesting because I've checked this information now from a couple of different fields of other people who have had experience with sixth density channelings and connections. And I must say, they all say the same kind of thing. So very interesting. It's always good to check out different sources of the same thing because, you know, how do you know otherwise? And for me, very interesting because it also checks out with a lot of information that we get through Damana that basically tell exactly the same story. And so it's like, okay, well, this obviously is a bit of a thing. So that's why I got very interested in this particular work, because it's like, oh, I could see it was tying together so many things that I'd already come across. And went, very interesting work. So anyway, that's the veil of forgetting and why it's an important part of our construct, because it is here for our self-awareness, but it is a part that we are shifting. The veil is thinning, as they say, and indicators of this, because when the veil thins, other things that happen is an increase of telepathy, an increase of being able to communicate energetically, you know, and feel more connected to one another. This is all part of it. More capacity to remember things like past lives, you know, galactic heritage, all of this kind of thing starts to come in. Not that that is the most important thing, and indeed even the sixth dimensional being says the same thing, because remember he says it doesn't. While your past lives are useful because there may be skills and things that you can bring forth, never forget that you're here to live the existence that you're in, because this is where you have chosen the unique set of conditions that you have come to grow yourself with. So it's like, don't base yourself in your past life, because you're actually here to live this life. So keep your attention on where you are. Be present. This is the potency. Sure, bring forth that knowledge. If it helps you out with skills and stuff, great. But you've got to live this life. That's the important mission. So that was his little words of wisdom. Alrighty. Thank you, Jenna. I'll turn that one off. Yes, we definitely need the fire. We're doing fire, Liz. All right.